Ramble. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You Can Sit With Us, our cutie booties. Let's see. I'm Ariel. I am one of your hosts. We also have Becky.
Hi.
And Maggie.
Hello.
And Rachel.
Hi.
And we got Miles in the background doing his gremlin stuff. Hi, Miles. And today we are trying to do something a little bit different. We are all experts in something. I would actually say we're experts in many things. Not experts in anything. Just well-rounded human mm-hmm. beings, I would argue. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try a segment that we are calling Ask an Expert, where mm-hmm. we polled the internet. We all went on our Instagram and said, do you have any questions? Today we are doing an interior design question. So we polled Instagram for all of your interior design questions, and we will be answering those on the podcast today, as well as mm-hmm. questions from Becky, Maggie, and Rachel mm-hmm. about their own interior design queries. So yeah. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
I think it would be really interesting to go around, and if you guys would talk a little bit about your interior design style, maybe what your interior design style was like 10 years ago when you were a teenager in your childhood bedroom.
Wait, were you just suggesting that I was a teenager 10 years ago? Because that's not true.
Some of us were teenagers 10 years ago. I do not fall into that category.
Me neither.
I was married 10 years ago.
I think I was technically an adult 10 years ago, but I am the youngest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I can go first. I demanded that all four of my bedroom walls be different colors, and it is still the same till this day. Yeah, I had very odd picks. I think I had a pastel yellow, a pink, a light blue, and a green, and my younger sister hated it. I think I shared a room. I was the middle child, so I always shared a bedroom with either my older or my younger sister. And then finally, I think, I don't know what happened. I think my sister moved into, we had like a little casita that she moved into that was like an extension of our living room. And then I got my own room and I was like, I'm going to make this my own. I demanded that the closet doors be taken off, and I had like tulle curtains instead of a door. Like, they were choices. And I think I had like glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling because that was a look back then.
Uh-huh. Maggie, you're describing a very Try Guys brand visual here.
That is true.
Four different colors on the walls. Pastels.
I was ahead of my time, I guess.
You were.
Yeah. What about you guys? Did you guys get any say-so in how you decorated your childhood bedroom?
No, I was Pigpen. I was like a filthy, disgusting teenager.
I did not predict that.
I know. For how much I clean now, I was a probably like teenage to college, I was a scumbag. Like full. Wow. I wore sweatpants all the time. That.
Becky Miller Habersberger.
Yeah. And then for my rooms, I was just, it was filthy. But I knew if I waited long enough, my mom would clean it.
Oh, man. No. You're intelligent.
It's our mother.
Without fail, I probably like sent her into mental breakdowns with my room.
Yes.
Because it was horrible. Oh, so bad. So bad. I was
and it
a filthy
didn't
child.
Bother you. You liked it. You were like, it's fine.
No. Yeah. I was like, whatever. I
you just would like sleep
here.
On a pile of dirty laundry.
Oh, all the time. Well, it wouldn't be dirty because I also did not do my own laundry.
You sleep on a pile of clean laundry.
I would sleep on, my mom would put the clothes out and I would just sleep on them.
Wow.
And then when I was done with them, they would go on the floor.
Rebecca.
I know. I was a bad, I was dirty. My parents literally called me Pigpen. Okay.
Wow.
Pigpen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love this history that I had no inkling existed.
Yeah. It was all like my room was covered in lots of newspaper clippings about Johnny Depp because I loved Johnny Depp when I was a kid. So I had a lot of those. And then I also had Barbie dolls because my parents and grandparents would buy me a Barbie doll every year for Christmas. And then I wasn't allowed to open it. So I just collect. Yeah,
Barbie dolls.
So I have all these
boxes?
Like mint condition Barbie dolls.
Wait, you didn't
play with them? If anybody's looking
to
buy.
Wow.
No, they were collectors. They're collectors. I still have them.
Do they still get you Barbie dolls for Christmas?
No, I don't get them anymore. I think I stopped getting them when I was like a teenager.
You should sell them on eBay.
You know, I've been looking. They're not that. I have one that's maybe worth like $400 or $500. But other than that, I have like
that's
some sets. Yeah,
that's
I have some sets that people. Are worth things. Yeah, I have all the
Barbie
Harley Davidson
it?
Barbies. The one that I have that's the most, the two most expensive ones were the Happy Birthday Barbie from the 90s. She's like wearing like pink and blue. And then I have the classic. Oh, and they all have matching ornaments, but those I touched.
I used to get the Barbie ornaments,
too. The classic white and black striped bathing suit Barbie with the glasses and the little. Yeah.
Oh.
But I had Barbies that I got to play with. These were just the ones that had to go in the room. So those became my decor. My scumbag
Barbie
decor.
Barbie decor.
I also really didn't predict Barbies. Fascinating.
Yeah.
What about you, Rach?
Let's see. My bedroom was like sort of the way it was when I was a child until for my 16th birthday, my parents sent me off with like a group of friends. And when I came home and all the friends came home with us, we'd like gone somewhere to do something for the day. They had made over my room a la an HGTV show. Or at that time, maybe like a TLC show. And they had given me like, the furniture was the same, but they had like done new window treatments and framed pictures of me and put a new stereo in there. And I felt like I was like, you know, that show, My Sweet 16, and where the people had like actual parties that like NSYNC played at and stuff. But for me, the room makeover was just like that. Like I was the star of the show. And so my bedroom. And it looked kind of adult. It's all like in golds and greens and they like had proper window treatments on there and it like everything was framed and it was just like very grown up looking.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so that's what my room decor was like through my teen years.
And
I kind of did that when I went to college too. I got like a put together set. You know, I'm from the South. The drapes match the bedspread, which matches the rug. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know. It's sort of like a coordinated effort.
Yes.
And I was the opposite of Becky. I'm very clean, like very neat. I never messed it up. Not really. But that's what it looked like. My parents decorated it. But I felt so special when they did that, that it felt fun.
Let's see. When we lived in Texas, so my dad's super handy, and he made me a lofted bed. So in a normal, you know, 12 by 12 bedroom, he put in like a loft basically, just where the bed would go on it. And so then I would climb up to my bed and and I had a desk underneath. And then cool. I had, you know, like all my stuff. I had like a big bureau and all this kind of stuff. But it was pretty, it was like IKEA. You know, I remember being able to pick out my own stuff. And it was colorful. And then I decided that I didn't want to climb up to my bed anymore. And so I put the bed underneath and turned it into like a princess bed where, you know, you have the like tulle drapes that come down. And I made the top my little study nook. And so I put all my books up there. And so I had like a little library and a little reading area. Yeah, it was cute. I don't remember spending that much time in my room, though, as a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe hanging out with my friend Carol. And we would like sit on my bed and read magazines or something. But other than that, I feel like I was always downstairs. But then when we moved to London, I brought like all the same stuff. But we didn't have quite as much furniture because, you know, at that point you only bring what you have to. And that was a pretty grown up room. But I remember a lot of the stuff in that house, we were renting. So it was like not my stuff. And so, you know, it was very like, I had my things and I had my like, I had a very nice sort of pastel blue bedspread. I remember that being a big part. But yeah, I liked things to be decorated. I liked to have a rug. I wanted to have a bedspread and throw pillows. I always had throw pillows. That was definitely a thing. I feel like most teenagers don't have throw pillows.
And how would you guys describe your style now? What would you say?
I think I'd say lots of textures.
Mm-hmm.
I really like palettes on walls. Like when you go into houses and you see a lot of textures on the walls. I don't know how to really describe that. Ariel, help me out.
So actually, this is kind of a fun exercise. I can describe your styles.
Yeah, you can do it. Because I was like, how do I describe my own style?
Yeah. Go, Ariel.
Okay. So because I love all of your homes and they're all very, very different. So Maggie, your style, you like, it is so obvious to me that you grew up in California because you have this like coastal sort of beachy style, which is exactly what you're talking about. You love the light colors, you know, like the light colors that I feel like California is perfect for having like white furniture and like beige like rugs and but you bring in interest with texture, you know. So if you look behind you, you have a like this vase that I absolutely love. That's like it's like a white and sort of brown vase, but it's like very textural. And I remember you were DIYing a yarn wall.
It was
hanging.
Like an area. It was like an area rug thing. Yeah. And that's really textured too.
Yeah, exactly. But instead of putting, you know, like brightly colored art on the wall or something like that, you bring in interest with like texture. And it's a very soothing environment that like a lot of people use in sort of coastal cities.
I'd like to incorporate more blacks, but depending on what room it is, you can't get away with doing a lot of blacks unless you have a lot of natural sunlight. So I wish I could incorporate more blacks into our apartment, but unfortunately we only have windows on like one side.
I would describe your living room, Mags, as like feeling very serene. And you have a lot of furniture where I just have this gut reaction where I'm like, oh, I want to sit on that. It just looks comfy.
It's cozy.
I'm like, ooh, I want to cuddle on that.
Soft blankets and like pillows. Let's see. Becky, I mean, you guys just moved into your dream house and you're actually doing, I mean, because your old place was very Chicago, and I know that wasn't like exactly your style, and I feel like now you're really coming into your own with like your style choices because you can actually choose what you want in your house, you know. And so I know you just got a new dining room table and chairs.
You guys are going
deep in the vintage and the mid-century modern too, you know, like the really like beautiful wood tones, but like, and you know, things that I feel like people you know used in the 70s.
We love the 70s.
Love the 70s.
We love color.
Yeah. 70s were good. 60s, 70s were such good design.
Really saturated color. which I think is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love what you guys are doing with your place, with the greens and the mural on your bedroom
Those
wall.
Green chairs are we so beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, saturated colors and just bringing in all of that energy.
I feel like you guys are really taking your time to decorate, too, Becky. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say you're, like, finding things you love rather than, like, trying to fill it up?
Yeah, we definitely took a pause when we first moved in on, like, getting a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now that we've been, like, now that we've been, like, playing around with, we're still, like, moving stuff. Like, we're still, we just moved a bookcase the other day in the bedroom so my plants could get more light. And we actually, Ariel loved this DIY. Keith spray painted this bookshelf for me, these silver, the one that was in the living room before. I wanted it to be black beams and or black support beams instead of silver support beams. But I also wanted to paint our outside planters black because they're like this kind of bright green right now. So we went to Lowe's and had a full-on 30-minute conversation at Lowe's, a 30-minute conversation at home, started the DIY, and Keith was talking about the bookcase, and I was talking about the planter the entire time.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and so we're having these conversations of him being like, well, it's metal, You don't have to sand it down that much. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's ceramic. I did something in it, and it's not... I think it's ceramic. I think we're really going to have to scrub it off. And he's like, no, get the soft grit. It'll be easy. It'll take 2 seconds. And I was like, wow, it's a pretty big planner.
Did you guys have a disagreement on how much to get to?
Well, because the internet said to buy more spray paint than you thought you would need. So we were like thinking about how we bought 2 cans of it. But then when we got home, he was walking to the bookshelf. And I walked outside to the planner. Oh my God. I was like, where are you going? So we did just do the bookshelf.
Oh,
but yeah,
my
I feel
gosh.
Like we're constantly moving stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if we find something we like at the vintage stores, we'll move what we already have to fit the new piece, depending on what we like.
Do you have any insider tips for finding good vintage stores? Like, how have you guys been doing that?
We've just been hitting the different, like, we literally just Google vintage stores LA. But then the other way is there's this, like, underground world on Instagram of vintage resellers that all, like, kind of follow each other. So I also follow, like, just some people that are, like... you know, redoing, like, our table came from someone who just redoes it at his house. he found it and he refurbished it. Yeah. So a lot of, like, local vendors. And then whenever we go to, like, a vintage store, we just try and talk to who's ever there to see, like, where else do you like in this neighborhood? Or we go to, like, there's a vintage market in Huntington Beach that we go to. Mm-hmm. And we followed some of the vendors so that we could see where else they go.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just talking to people, I think. It's like a little underground world.
Yeah. The dark side of Instagram.
Yeah.
Vintage design.
Do they go to different like flea markets or in vintage outdoor markets? Or is it something that they have storefronts or like warehouses that you can go to?
It depends. I mean, some of them, like the Huntington Beach one was an outdoor market and most of those vendors go to other outdoor markets. But like the guy we got our kitchen table from is, I think he just does it out of his garage. And then our chairs came from Sunbeam.
I love Sunbeam.
That place is great.
They're so good. We have several things from them.
Yeah, they're so nice too. And their stuff's really good quality. I would say just always when you're like vintage shopping, just do a quick Google. If there's like a name on something, look it up just to see and like, because sometimes you go to the vintage store and you're like, wait a minute, this is fucking Crate and Barrel 8 years ago.
Yeah. It's not. Which, it's still vintage.
It's old. Maybe not vintage.
But maybe not the unique piece we were looking for.
Yeah.
Do you guys want an insider tip?
Yes.
Okay, do you know where vintage stores get their furniture?
Is it estate sales?
Estate sales. Yeah. Sign up for an estate sale website, and you can go to the estate sales yourself. And, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's so much work. But, you know, you can get the piece that you get at Sunbeam. You can get that table, say, for, like, $100. You know, it's yeah. ridiculous stuff. You know, for people who are looking for like seriously cheap furniture that's really, really good quality, you got to go to the estate sales. You got to show up early, show up like before they say it opens, and you will be in line with all of those. You'll be in line with the mm-hmm. person who buys for Sunbeam. You'll be in line with the person who buys for, you know, all the different. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Wait, so these estate sales, do they take place at the same estate every time, or are these just like mm-mm. very wealthy people that different are selling estate their sales. Furniture?
Not even very wealthy people. It is just people. It is like there are estate sale places where when somebody is moving or somebody passes or, you know, then the family is just like, we got to get rid of all of this stuff. What are we going to do? They hire an estate sale company and the estate sale just prices everything and doesn't even stage everything. It stays exactly where it is. Like, you know, whoever's closet is still full of their shoes and all of their everything, you know, and somebody, it depends on the estate and it depends on the estate sale company, but it could be like, every shoe is $1, you know, or something like that. Or they could, or like, say this person collected Louboutins or something. Then they'll actually go through and they'll be like, okay, this pair and this pair and this pair. But I mean, it is, they are so, so fun. When I was doing the like vintage resale, my sister and I would go to estate sales. They would have them on Thursday mornings and Friday mornings. And those were always the best ones to go to because, like, you wanted to get there day one and you wanted to get there first thing because all the good stuff goes so fast. And then you're just left with the $1 shoes, you know? but, I mean, so, and like, everybody's looking for different stuff. So there's the, there's the like, fashion buyers who are going in and they're looking at the shoes, they're looking at the purses, they're looking at the scarves and all that kind of stuff. Then there's the furniture people, and then there's the decor people, and then there's the people who are just looking for like big things, like the tools in the garage, you know, like they want to resell the lawnmower or all those places that do like used appliances. So they're coming in, they're buying the refrigerator, they're buying the isn't that
KitchenAid
fascinating?
That's totally fascinating. I never even thought about what happened to someone's lawnmower.
There are people who you know, I mean. Because if you think about it, somebody who it's kind of morbid to think about, but like somebody who passes and their children are taken care of, you know, like they're like, we don't want any of their stuff. We have stuff of our own. So how are we gonna get rid of all this stuff? And they have a perfectly good 2-year-old lawnmower. You know, it's like you got to get rid of all this stuff really fast. Yeah. But moving on, Rachel's style. Rach, you, when I first went into your house, I was like, this is awesome because you have a, like, we're talking about Becky's saturated colors. Your house saturated colors. Purple it is rug. The happiest so house that I have ever been in because it's just like, your purple rug and then the pink chairs and the blue leather couch in the back. And
what color did you get the kitchen?
Yes. What color did you guys do the built-in bench that Watts built? Is it yellow?
Oh, no. It's walnut, but there's a big giant yellow, like neon yellow pillow.
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, it's true. Like you don't use one color twice. You know, we use a lot of colors. There's so much color, and I love it. You know, it's like a lot of people will save color for like kids' rooms, and I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. We use color all over the house if you love
There's color everywhere. You know? I really like neon. So there's as much neon as possible without being actually neon.
The way that you make it not busy is that the rest of the house is like very clean, very neat and very soothing. You know, it's like you like if you look in the background of your you know, Zoom screen right now, you know, you've got the white walls with the black hardware, which is, you know, which is what we did with this house too. So I love it. You know, but like, but everything else is like just modern and updated and, you know.
I also love that you're not a tchotchke person.
Yeah.
Like when I go to your house, there are no like tchotchkes. you know, in the Midwest, it was tchotchke central. You have stuff everywhere. So I still have a little bit of that tchotchkiness in me. Mm-hmm. But your house, I feel like everything has a place and a function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to use everything we have. And if we don't use mm-hmm. it, I don't want to have it. I'm a serial donator. Like, mm-hmm. I donate stuff. You give us stuff. If it's not useful or beautiful or, like, functional, it gets donated. Because I don't like a lot of stuff that we're not using.
Yeah. That is something that I've always wanted to ask you is, like, do you, like, do you find that you don't buy things? Or do you buy things and it's, like, a one-in, one-out?
A little bit one-in, one-out. But also just, like, I don't know. I don't do clutter really. Although my husband does. If you look in our garage, it is full. It is full.
Is the garage Watts's area? That's
it's
like,
his area and it is his workshop and it's full of stuff he uses for work. But it's full. I'll say like the things we save that we're not using are like baby clothes and baby toys and stuff. But they're organized in old diaper boxes by age and labeled. And then they're getting shipped off to my sister-in-law for her new baby and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, I have something for you. It was your Christmas present. But now that we're talking about decor, I'm like, maybe I'll just show it to her now so that she can tell me whether or not it's going to be clutter for her home.
Oh, no. Is it my first tchotchke?
It's not a tchotchke. So a while, people are obsessed with your babies and they love to draw pictures of your babies. Mm-hmm. So you shared a picture that a girl who was in, she's like in high school. And so I bought the print off of her for you.
Oh my God.
That's not a tchotchke.
I love it. That's not clutter. I'm going to frame it and put it in their room.
Well, I'm looking for a frame for it right now. And I was like, maybe I should ask her if she wants a black frame or a brown frame. Or maybe I just give it to her and let her frame it. I don't know about giving people decor.
I love it.
That's amazing. Vicky. I had to babies.
Oh, so cute.
I just thought it was so cute. And the girl was so nice.
Becky. Oh, my God. I love it. And you know what? I haven't ever printed a photo of them and put it up in their room. There are no photos of them in there because I'll put it up in their room.
It's so cute.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that girl is so sweet.
Since Christmas.
Amazing. See, that's not a tchotchke. That's like straight to my heart.
See, I never know the difference between like putting little pictures up or if there's too many pictures or if there's too much stuff. You know,
beautiful,
like we're
and
right
functional.
Now, Keith's correcting rocks when we go on
what
hikes. So we've got rocks everywhere.
Oh,
and I'm like, heard about his rock collection. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all over the mirror in the bathroom. They're like over here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is it too many? Are we rocked
out? Is it
out?
Too many? I mean, maybe. Do the rocks bring you joy, Becky? That's the question.
Ooh, they are. So we get them and Keith's dad got us this little kit because he's a geologist. He was a mining engineer, but he loves rocks. So for Christmas, he got us and my brother-in-law this kit where you shine this blue light on the rocks and they glow on the inside and you can see if there's like, I don't remember.
A diamond?
Like a ruby or
a pearl?
It glows like different colors.
That's
so
cool.
We've been doing that. Whoa. And then I'll take the light and do it all over the house and start screaming about cleaning.
I'm like, Kate!
Everything's a diamond in the toilet.
The blue light. He's like, it's just dust. I was like, no, it's not. Yeah. I would say the rocks bring joy.
The thing about tchotchkes is if it brings you joy, then like, you know, because I feel like you and I use the word tchotchke as kind of like a negative word. You know, like you know, a decor that isn't like nice, but the
and, like,
thing
not
is,
useful.
Like, if
just
yeah,
a
like,
thing.
If you love it, then who cares? You know, keep the tchotchkes. I mean, coming from a person who you know, like collects this kind of stuff, and I'm always trying to find places to squirrel stuff away. Like that's my problem. I'm a hoarder in like a minimalist body. It's really an issue. It really is. Like when we got rid of our garage, like that was I had to expose my whole life. I was like, damn it, all my stuff is in there.
All my stuff. That's why you got the storage unit. You hoard away from your home so you can be calm at home and still have stuff.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And like, I have this, it's sort of just this nagging thing in the back of my head where I know that the storage unit is, you know, it's slowly just gnawing at me. Like, you have so much stuff in there and it's not organized and you need to deal with it at some point, but I don't need to deal with it now. So I'm just, I just, there's always a box of things to go to storage. Just like, I just walk around the house and collect things and I'm like, nope, not this anymore. Don't want this in here anymore. And it's just, it all just goes.
Yeah. Well, Ariel, that kind of brings us to one of our questions that we had from the audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
This, throw at me. This. Yeah. This is from Eilush, A-Y-L-U-S-H. She messaged us on Instagram. And she said, how do you decorate walls without making them look overfilled?
Good question. I mean, it really depends on your wall, and it depends on the kind of art that you have. You know, like if you have a bunch of small pieces, you can definitely do, you can go in the direction of a gallery wall. I like walls to be, to have stuff on them. That's just something that I feel makes a home feel cozy. You know, if there's like an, if there's an empty wall, it to me, it feels unfinished. And so, but you don't have to use art. That's a big part of it, is you, it doesn't have to be art on one wall, art on another wall, art on another wall. It could be a bookshelf, or it could be, you know, like a larger storage piece or something like that. You know, it really, you use different types of things to kind of make the space feel full. But if you're worried about things feeling too full, then just pare back. You know, you could use one big piece. Those always feel a little bit more like less is more. You know, because the thing that makes walls feel busy is when it's not cohesive. You know, if you have a bunch of artwork that's all in different frames, or if it's all in different, if it's all different colors or something like that, those are some of the like do's and don'ts of gallery walls, is don't just take something that you have and then put them all together. You really have to think about how the pieces fit as a whole in terms of color and frames and that sort of thing. And so, you know, you really have to think about how you're putting the pieces together. And in a room with four separate walls, you know, you don't want to put one piece on one wall, another piece on another wall, another piece on another wall. You know, that's sort of the, your initial impulse is to decorate all four walls with the pieces that you have. But honestly, what would feel kind of more decorated is if you put two pieces on one wall and then one piece on another, or all three on one wall and then did something else with the other walls, you know, like a super fun, like Becky's mural or something like that, you know, like using paint. You could do accent walls. You know, I'm not a huge fan of like doing the one colored wall. But
I did that in my first apartment in New York. I had one bright blue wall and then in the bedroom one red wall.
It's a really easy way.
It was good. I'm just saying I did it.
It's a really, really easy way to bring in like interest and color. That's certainly one of the like quick and easy things that you can do to just make a space feel more fun, more decorated.
You're 24, you're in your first apartment. You're like, let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's have fun with some paint.
Yeah, paint
or wallpaper.
They make like stick-on wallpaper now. So,
goodness. Okay, I will say though, we stuck-on wallpapered the laundry room.
Oh, no.
And do not do it alone. Two minimum to put on stick-on wallpaper.
Okay.
Because I bought it, thought I could do it by myself, attempted it, and then proceeded to stay in bed all day because I was like,
Aiden Gobo is the worst. So Keith, I was like, Keith, pull it down. Pull it down.
And you took it down?
He took it down, but then we did it together. Oh. And it looks much better. It looks better now. But it is definitely a two-person job. It is not.
Because it like bubbles and sticks weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to get, ours is a pattern. It's like a, yellow and like flowers, like kind of looks, it goes with like the vintage vibe. Yeah. But you have to get the flowers to line up.
Match them up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And I was like, this world is not for me.
I want a wallpaper and accent wall in the girls' room when we stop using their changing table. Because the wall's kind of all scuffed where we like change their diapers and stuff. And so when we take that down sometime in the near future, I would love to wallpaper that wall. Just one wall. Is that cool, Ariel? Just one wall?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And also the thing about like kids' rooms, wallpaper's so good for kids' rooms. Mm-hmm. It's just so fun. And it's so easy to, and if you get like vinyl wallpaper, it's so easy to clean.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good tip.
We wallpapered Wes's closet, wallpapered Wes's closet.
Cute.
Similar thing, did it myself, and I was like, oh my God, this is hard. That was the first time I had done the stick-on wallpaper by myself. And yeah, and also like part of, I mean, we all kind of live in older places, and the problem with older places is that the walls are not straight.
No.
Yes.
So when you're trying to
corners are not
straight,
like perfect.
No. No.
And so I found that, like, you know, one of the wallpaper pieces just went like awry, and I was like, how am I supposed to match up a pattern now? You know, you start in one place, and then it doesn't continue on to the next one. It was a disaster.
Yeah, in college, I wallpapered our bathroom. It was like a smaller space. I was like, how do we make this warmer? But I did it by myself, and I couldn't get the wallpaper to go perfectly around the toilet, obviously, because there's plumbing. But there was just like this big gaping hole. Nobody knew about it, but I did. And I got charged a lot of money after I moved out, because when I ripped the wallpaper off, like, it was not kind to the wall. I should have just left it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was very expensive. It sucked.
Oh, no.
Expensive wallpaper.
Yeah. But
would you wallpaper again, Maggie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like wallpaper.
If you owned your place, would you wallpaper it?
Yeah. I'd probably do a smaller room just because any sort of humongous room, it seems kind of a daunting task. But I've seen really cute, like, one side of dining rooms wallpapered that looks really nice. I've even seen, I think I've seen ceilings wallpapered, which is really cool.
Wow.
Ceilings have really been coming into their own. Yeah.
Yeah. Ceilings are having a glow up.
Ceilings are having a moment. Wait,
Ariel, do you want to talk a little bit about what's happening to the Try Guys ceiling?
Tell us. What do you want? You mean in the studio? You told them to paint black?
In the new office. No. In the new office, I think we're doing like an accent on the ceiling, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's very exciting. I don't know. Have the guys told you guys? Have Keith and Zach told Becky and Maggie about have the guys told you guys? Yeah, I know. About everything that's going on with the new office. I mean, so Zach was really disappointed that we had lost the wooden beam ceiling, because there was just so much going on up in the rafters that they had to drywall the entire ceiling and keep all the noise up and all that kind of stuff, because they're on the bottom floor of like a 3-floor building. And so, you know, Zach goes in and they had drywalled it, and he was like, where did all the character go, you know? And so we're thinking to ourselves, how do we bring some character back into this space? And the idea was, so we had already put in a built-in bench, which is a very fun, like, decorative accent. And I really wanted to do wood slats behind the bench. And so now the idea is to continue the wood slats up from the bench and then onto the ceiling, so that we have this, like, wood slat ceiling fixture.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to look that's so cool. It's going to bring in so much like warmth and interest. I'm so excited.
And some dimension too. That's
and some
nice.
Dimension, yeah. Texture.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're doing...
It's not a regular office. It's a cool office.
It's a cool office. It's a creative office.
But speaking of creative things, mm-hmm. Ariel, another question from one of our fans mm-hmm. asked, is there a design style that you wish would just stop?
Oh.
That people would just stop doing?
I love this.
What's your your design?
Ariel.
And if it's in any of our houses, don't say it.
That's so hard. That's so hard. Because there isn't like a design style that I hate. Mm-hmm. Because I think that they're all like valid and you know, everybody has their own style.
Yeah.
There are certain elements of interior design that, you know, like those interior, those design magazines that are like the 10 things interior designers hate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there, I definitely have some of those. I guess number one on my list is boob lights. Have you guys, do you guys know what I'm talking
boob
about?
Oh, yes, boob lights. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, okay. There are several different types of lighting fixtures that you can hang mm-hmm. from your ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. There are pendant lights that come down mm-hmm. on a, like on a string mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. a rope. There are recessed lighting. Or there is recess lighting, and so that's when it goes into the ceiling. And then there is like, you can also call it a pendant light, but it's a light that is like fixed to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And in every rental ever,
yes,
they yep. do this, and yes. they have what I call a boob light, which is a glass.
So boob light is an aerial term. Not
I'm pretty
a design
sure other
term.
People call them boob lights too,
yeah,
because they
nipple,
look like boobs.
A nipple light. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know so what it's, also it's needs a, to stop?
Hmm. Popcorn ceilings, because usually boob yes. lights mm. and popcorn ceilings, they need to stop doing that.
They're best
boob
buddies.
Lights and popcorn ceilings.
They're best
yeah.
friends.
We have popcorn boob. Ceilings in one of our rooms, and I'm like, oh, I hate the popcorn.
Yeah. And they're so hard to get rid of, too. You like have to scrape it off, and it makes a huge mess. And yeah. But they usually do it, so like rental places will do it mm-hmm. in... dining rooms, because you know normally you would have like a chandelier there or something like that, but if it's an open space and you don't want people hitting their head on it or something like that, then they'll have a flush mount on the ceiling. And like the easiest way to put a flush mount on there is to just have the apparatus right in the middle so that you know screw it on, and then it looks like a boob. If it's round, it looks like a boob. That's just sort of the way it is.
No more boob lights.
No more boob lights. I hate those. Like if you're gonna have if you're gonna have a pendant fixture of some sort there, have a hanging pendant, like, or have a you know, like a flush mount that is interesting in some way, like a star or a I don't know. You know, boob lights just drive me nuts. And for anybody out there who has a boob light and you've never noticed it and now you hate it because I said it, you can change it really, really easily. It is so easy to change lights. Like, you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. We did it in the Try Guys office. That was a little bit of a disaster because the wiring was really old.
The wiring was so old that Ned installed a sconce, and somehow, I'm shitting you not, guys. Somehow, when you turned the switch off to turn the sconces off, you turned the air conditioning off. And when you turn them on, you turn the air conditioning on. I had to get an electrician in to fix it. I don't know how that happened. But
I
it
do.
Was true.
I mean, if you because that house is so old that and you we've all been in that house. The vents are on the floor. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is another thing that I hate because, oh, my God. Like, yes, I appreciate heat coming from the floor if you live in like the mountains or something. But otherwise, that's either just a dust collector. They just collect dust and you can't get it out. So the vents in that house come out of the floor, but they don't work because they did the air conditioning and put it in the linen closet. In that house.
Oh.
And the linen closet is right behind those sconces. And so I'm pretty sure they just took
right,
the wiring. They took the existing wiring that was in that wall and hooked up the air conditioning. And it was on the same circuit as the lights.
And so when Ned installed a new sconce, he somehow wired the lights and the air conditioning together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what he did. That was
so crazy.
Yeah. I would say number two is, and this a lot of people have in their homes, and they probably don't realize it either, but curtains that don't touch the floor. Like, a lot of people have it. You don't even realize that it's a thing because your windows don't touch the floor, so your curtains don't touch the floor. But I feel like curtains should always touch the floor. Or
even if you have, like, a little one?
Even if... Well, if you have, like, a little one, I feel like curtains aren't the most appropriate thing to have there. I feel like you should have, you know, like a blinds. Like a roller roller shade or you know, that's just a sort of a personal thing. But then the other thing about that is that a lot of times somebody will be covering a window and they'll just go to IKEA and get curtains of, you know, either the 96 or the 108 length. You know, those are like the standard length that you get, and you don't get them hemmed. You don't get them, you know, done at all, and you just hang them up in the with the stuff that's already there, and they don't touch the floor. And it's like the biggest thing when you walk into somebody's, like when you walk into a home and the curtains don't touch the floor, even if, you know, but they're like very close to touching the floor, then you know,
like
that
shower
that,
curtains,
yeah, then you know that it's like they just went and got these at, you know, at the IKEA or whatever, which is totally fine, but with a little bit of like extra effort, you can make it look custom and you can make it look, you know, perfect. You know, get the slightly longer length and then just send them through a sewing machine or get them hemmed at your dry cleaner or something like that, so that they just touch, you know, so they touch the floor.
All right.
Ooh, good to know. Good to know. Yeah. Good to mental know.
Do we have more questions?
What's been your favorite project that you've worked on as an interior designer? Because you did, like, you've done pretty extreme projects. Is it your house? Because you've done some complete remodel.
I was going to say it was definitely my house. It was the hardest project because it like I had the hardest client, which was my husband.
But, I thought you were going to say yourself.
I thought you were going to say me. No, it's definitely Ned because he's one of the hardest people to design for because I know him so well and I know like what he needs. But like part of what I do also is I sort of think 5 years ahead and I think what is somebody going to need? And that, you know, and so like thinking 5 years ahead for him, but then he is using something and he's like, why is this here? Why? I don't understand why you put this here. And I'm like, well, you know, when our kids are five, this is going to be really helpful. And he's like, but what about now? You know, so he's rough. But yes, I would say my house was probably the most fun because it was like the deepest one that I, you know, it was down to the studs, had to choose every single thing. It was also the hardest. You know, I've done a lot of designs for places that are already built. So just choosing furniture and things like that. And those are also really fun because it's almost like you're dressing a person. You're just choosing the furniture for a space that's already been built. You know, so you choose the paint on the walls, you choose the rugs on the floor, and you can sort of think of it as a cohesive unit. And those are always really fun too. They're like little, like one room makeovers. You can really just go nuts and create like a fantasy space in your head. You know, you can choose everything.
When you're doing something like your house or the Try Guys office where you're working on it, like from the studs up, how do you prevent getting decision fatigue?
I don't.
Because I get intense decision fatigue even just doing my job. And then I'll come home. Maggie, you must feel this way too. Where you have like a lot of human interactions that have a lot of like real-time decisions during the day, or when you're prepping for a big video or a big show and you're just hiring and deciding and deciding. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, I can't pick out clothes. I can't make decide what to do for dinner. I just like get stressed for little decisions because I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So how do you do that when you're deciding what the drywall looks like, where the electrical sockets go, what the hardware is, and the furniture, and the, you know? It's a lot.
Three things. One, I let other people make as many decisions as I can. You know, so when it comes to things like where the outlets go and, you know, the size of the baseboards and, you know, when I know that it is not a decision that is super important, I let somebody else do it. I say, I say, go standard. I want all of the outlets at standard height. I want an outlet here. I want an outlet here. I want an outlet here. Standard height, you know, like,
okay,
there's a standard for a reason. You know, and then when it comes to like any, so pretty much anything that somebody else can make the decision on, I let them do that. Or I just say like, show me two options and I'll choose one, you know, like I'm not gonna like, so the contractor at the office the other day, he actually was like, what baseboards do you want? And you know, you could go into a rabbit hole of baseboards, you know, and I'm thinking to myself like, no, this decision is not a big deal. You know, this space, the baseboards are not something that people are going to want to be looking at, you know, so we're not going to have these ornate baseboards. No, this is a modern space. We're going to do very standard baseboards. And I said, you know, bring me two sizes of baseboards and like bring a 5-inch and a 6-inch and I will tell you which one I want, you know, and we chose the 6-inch. Yeah. There you go. You know, it's
done.
It's like, it's those sorts of decisions that save me to make the bigger decisions, like, you know, how like the furniture and the art and all this kind of, you know, the decisions that you're going to see every day on camera that are going to really make the space what it is. Two, I try to make fewer decisions in my real life when I know that I need to be making decisions in other things, or, you know, in like design choices. And that's really one of the hardest ones is I wear like jeans, white tennis shoes, black t-shirt, you know, like you guys have seen me on my days when I am not making decisions about.
You're reminding me that I once read about the fact that Obama never picked out what he was wearing. He had an aide do that because the fewer decisions he made about what he was wearing, what he was eating, how he traveled somewhere, the more he could use his decision-making powers for things that mattered, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there was some family personal assistant who laid out his clothes every day or set out what he was supposed to wear or something and decided what they would have for dinner. He never decided.
That's great. I wish I didn't have to decide what I was having for dinner every night.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need one of those.
Where's my aide?
Yeah. Someone tell me.
Yeah. But like, you know, being very not picky about all of those other, you know, things.
To have a uniform so that you can use that decision-making power at work.
And like making sure that the house is clean so that I don't have this like sort of mental clutter, you know, like that's a really big one for me is mental clutter. And so what I do with the house, and this is especially hard in quarantine because, you know, like you're in your house all the time. But what I'll do is I'll just put like if there is clutter, I just move it out of my frame of vision. And I make my desk very clean, or I make, you know, the bedroom very clean. I'm very compartmentalized in that way where I'll put all the clutter into a different room and close the door.
Okay.
And then I do my work, you know? Yeah, exactly. And then three, you can't do it all at once. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, there's no way that you can decorate an entire house or an entire office or even just a room in one sitting. You know, you have to, you know, you choose, you make a mood board, and then you go and you like feel the textures and you sit on your decisions for a little while, and then you go and you change it a little bit and see, you know, and you know, when you're working with clients, especially there, you go through several iterations, and it can be really, hard to do that as just a human being, because, you know, oh, here, I made these decisions for you. Oh, you don't like these decisions. That hurts me personally, but you, you can't let it hurt you personally. It's, you know, you just have to be like, okay, yeah, yeah, you're right. I completely understand that you don't like that color. So we're going to choose a different color, you know? But it is like, you have to get kind of a thick skin when it comes to the decisions that you make, and you have to lose the person, like the way you personally feel about it. And that's also why the house was so hard. It's because I personally felt very particular about things because I was making decisions for me. And then, you know, when like Ned would be like, I don't really like that. I'm kind of like, what? You don't like
my decision?
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, but decision fatigue is real. It really is. And there are certainly days when I have it. I try, so I don't have much time these days. And so when I was doing the mood boards for the guy's office, I did them all in like 2 days. And I was a zombie after that. I could make no decisions. Absolutely. I was like, food? Coffee? Dinner? Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, there is so much that we could talk about interior design. I'm glad we could talk about you guys' spaces a little bit. That was really fun.
I loved it. It was,
that
like,
was really fun.
Tell me about me.
Tell me more about myself.
Tell me what my sign is.
I really want Becky to do that for us for makeup, to be like, well, your style is this. And
Becky had a really fun idea. I don't know if you guys are down. If you're not, we'll cut this out. But Becky and I, she was giving me advice, and we were talking about coming on here and doing our makeup together live with Becky coaching us on what to do on the podcast.
That would be so fun. For Zoom.
For Zoom.
Specifically Zoom makeup.
Yes.
That would be really, Zoom really fun.
That would be fun. It's kind of like getting together. We haven't been able to do that in so long. We don't go out together anymore. So.
Anywho, that is all the time we have. We even went over time on this one. But if anybody, you know, if you guys have interior design questions, I love this stuff. This is what I like to do. As you can probably tell, I start talking really fast and I get, you know, really loud and excited about it. So, maybe we'll do this again. I don't know.
Absolutely.
We
can make this a whole segment thing that we do on the reg.
Should I buy this? Which I think is always such a funny question, because like, I think usually when people ask me if they should buy something, they just want, like validation that they should buy it, because of course they like, if they're asking me, yeah, they want it. So I never say no. I'm never going to say no. I'm going to say, well, where are you going to put it? It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Get it. You know, anywho, I cannot wait to do this, with all of you. But we'll have to wait for the next one. So, have a great day. Wash your hands. As Becky says, wash your hands, wear your mask, be a good person. We love you all, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.